Mr. Nykerk, you're up.
Sorry for jumping the gun, just trying to move things along.
Your enthusiasm is noted.
This is a little different. This is a request for a public hearing for one of two general permits that are being developed to hopefully encourage the use of living shorelines as a preferred alternative for shoreline stabilization in the Commonwealth. A little history. Back in 2010, there was a Senate joint resolution that requested VIMS to conduct a study of tidal shoreline management in Virginia and to recommend methods to streamline regulation, encourage living shoreline methods, and recommendations provide for sustained protection of tidal shoreline resources. The results of that study were presented in Senate document number 16. That Senate document led to a bill in 2011 which, among other things, defined the term living shoreline and directed VMRC to develop a general permit process to encourage the use of living shorelines and to develop integrated guidance to promote and coordinate the management of shorelines across jurisdictional boundaries. As we were working to develop that general permit, it became apparent that the legislation may not provide the ability to develop a general permit process that was both applicable to VMRC and the wetland boards. And as you know, certainly the jurisdictions are related. And to have any kind of successful, effective streamlining of the process, it would have to be a process that was effective or streamlined both the wetlands process and the VMRC process. Accordingly, we sought legislation in 2014 to address this issue, and that resulted in House Bill 964. The legislation defines what a living shoreline is. It means it's a shoreline management practice that provides erosion control and water quality benefits, protects, restores, and enhances natural shoreline habitat, and maintains coastal processes through the strategic placement of plants, stone, sand fill, and other structural and organic materials. The definition is really fairly broad and would encompass a large variety of projects, anything from, simple planning of your riparian shoreline, possibly placing some sand down, to large breakwater projects. And even though there are a lot of projects that would qualify as a living shoreline, we did not feel it was appropriate to develop a general permit process that would encompass all of those things. It's just too complicated to review projects like a breakwater project in a streamlined manner. Still want to encourage those, and we may have some ways to encourage those down the road, but the general permits are for simpler projects. To be effective, the general permit must provide some incentive to encourage its use over the standard permit review process. The only incentives that we really identified were a streamlined, a quicker process, and a reduction in fees. In most cases, if we receive a complete application for a living shoreline type project, you're really only talking maybe 6 weeks anyway. So we really had to dig deep to streamline a project process that would move along quicker than that. We have solicited a great deal of input. At the very outset, we briefed all of the wetland boards throughout the state on the legislation and solicited their input on the general permit by way of a questionnaire. We also formed two groups to assist in the development of the general permit. One of those is the technical work group, and it was comprised of the agencies specifically mentioned in the legislation. And they assisted VIMS in the development of the technical guidance for the general permit and developed some of the components and the permit concepts. The Corps of Engineers representation was important so that we didn't develop something that would not also be able to be authorized quickly by the Corps of Engineers. And while we've been working on this, the Corps has revised what's called their Regional Permit 19 to accommodate the types of living shoreline projects that we are attempting to include in our general permit. So, if you qualify for our general permit, you should also qualify for the Corps' regional permit for living shoreline. So it should be a pretty quick process. We also had an advisory committee, which is comprised of what we term the eventual users of the general permit. We're using this group as a sounding board to make certain we're on the right track in developing something that'll be both useful and effective. The advisory committee was comprised of some local staff members, wetland board members, and the agents and contractors that would be utilizing the general permit. Just give you a couple of fun pictures. This is a project in Gloucester County that was completed about a year ago. It's at a public landing on Free School Creek. It actually involves some nearshore sills that are off to the right that would possibly qualify under the second of the two general permits we're working at. But in the background, you can see an oyster shell bag sill back here around the around a marsh point. This is that same spot just 6 months later. You can see it really took off. Both of the committees expressed a concern that the general permit should not encourage the use of certain living shoreline types in areas for which they're not appropriate. The fear being that even a few failed projects could give the living shoreline concept a bad name and could be counterproductive in the promotion of these living shoreline techniques. Accordingly, we had to walk a fine line between developing a general permit that was both broad enough to be useful, but limited to the point that it would be effective and have a limited potential to adversely impact adjoining property owners, the environment, or the general public. These are the concepts for both of the general permits that we're moving forward with. It will not cover all of the living shoreline projects. The group one, which we're requesting, we move forward with a request for a public hearing on right now, is basically a wetlands enhancement. It would cover things such as these fiber logs, which that's out here and actually submerged out here in front. There are some what are core logs or fiber logs or coconut fibers that roll tight, basically designed to hold the placement of some sandy fill in this area to enhance that wetland environment, allow for the planting of vegetation, and then these decompose over time after the wetlands have established themselves. Also would be authorized under this would be oyster shell bags, where these mesh bags that get filled with oyster shells and placed as a small sill. The Group 1 general permit would be confined to the wetland zone, so it would be above the mean low water mark. What we're looking at doing is streamlining the process to the extent possible by reducing and eliminating the notification procedures and agency comments. Review will be limited to a determination that the project meets the criteria and appears appropriate. There was a lot of comment on, you know, we're trying to get the general permit perfect so that it'll work in every case, but if either VMRC or the Wetland Board during the review of the process, even if it meets all the criteria, feels like, you know, this isn't an appropriate use of the general permit, either can kick it out, and in those cases it would have to go through the regular permit process. We're also recommending that there be no processing fee and that royalties, of course there wouldn't be any royalties on this first one, but royalties be eliminated or reduced to also encourage this use. Royalties wouldn't become effective or wouldn't be involved until we get into the Group 2 ones, which will be coming hopefully in a few months. That would involve areas channelward to low water. So the Group 1 components, it would be fiber logs and shell bags. It would be limited to sites with a maximum fetch of 1/2 mile. The activities would be confined to the areas above mean low water. It would allow for the placement of sand fill to enhance the planting area, and that sand fill would be limited to the height of the adjacent wetlands, so you wouldn't be able to raise an area above the jurisdictional limit of wetlands. You'd only be able to increase the height. You know, a lot of these areas have become flooded or they're mud flats now, and by placing some fill up, the vegetation typically only grows down to about mid-tide. So if you're wanting to create that vegetated fringe, the buffer that's protecting you, need to get that elevation up to mean high water or to mid tide or above. You will have to identify the sand source and use a clean sand material with no less than 10% passing a 100 sieve. We're going to recommend as coarse a material as folks can get, but those are the minimum requirements for the sand. And it's really designed to allow for improvements to enhance the intertidal area to support those vegetated plantings. The procedure would be right now submit the standard application. We may develop an abbreviated application in the future. It's another method to streamline things. It will be reviewed concurrently by VMRC and the Wetland Board. The Wetland Board will have 21 days in which to comment on whether to use the general permit or not. If they find that something's missing, need some additional information, you know, that 21 days would get extended until that material came in. If for some reason either party, like I said, doesn't feel like it should be used, they can just say, don't really want to use the general permit in this process, and it'll go through the regular process. There will be some minimal monitoring. We're recommending that. That really will consist of the permittee providing photographs at regular intervals, I think 6 months after planting, and then like a year and a half after planting. There would be no processing fee or permit fee. There is a provision to allow maintenance, allow the person to go out, replace shell bags, replace core logs as necessary to try and maintain this area, revegetate if necessary. And given the limited potential to adversely impact the environment, adjoining neighbors, and the general public, we are not recommending there be any public notice or notification of adjoining property owners. We really feel like we've really limited this thing down to something that shouldn't adversely impact anybody, and if we're having to go through a notification process, we're really looking at probably the 6 weeks that we can do right now with the regular permit process. This is that site I showed you at Gloucester Point earlier. That's a before and after shot. In the proper setting, living shoreline techniques can effectively control shoreline erosion while providing water quality benefits and maintaining natural habitat and coastal processes. Accordingly, staff also desires to encourage their use where appropriate, and we believe this incentive will be beneficial. We recommend the commission authorize staff to proceed or to advertise the proposed general permit for public hearing at the July meeting in order to consider adoption of the general permit. The action would be in accordance with the provisions of 28.2103 and 28.2104.1b of the Code of Virginia. And what we'll be looking at doing is advertising similar to the way Fisheries does for their regulations. We've put in a newspaper on the website. We'll be providing copies to various environmental groups, all of the local wetland boards, and a list of agents and contractors and anybody else we can think of. That's all I've got. I'd be happy to try and answer any questions. This is a little different than what we normally present you.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Were there any questions from the commission? Chip, let's go over just a little bit here. Make sure I got this. Been about 3 years, 4 years of work to get to this point. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of discussion with a lot of people. The wetlands boards, are all of them are on board with this?
Yeah, the we haven't received anybody, you know, opposed to it. We received some grumbling about the elimination of permit fees, and we may see some of that coming through, even though the wetland boards aren't going to have to do a tremendous amount of work with this. We're actually burdened with issuing the permit and following up with compliance and everything. But some boards will want to be more involved than others, I expect. Some may say, you guys can take it. But that's probably the only thing. The only other thing we may get is some folks might think it's too narrow, doesn't include enough option, living shoreline options that are out there right now. But you know, that waits to be seen. We don't expect anybody to really be opposed to it. Those would be the only two things.
And you think you can cut the review time down to 21 days? Well, that's about as streamlined as the Commonwealth of Virginia
and
can get.
It could be quicker than that. I mean, it could be you get it in, the Wetland Board says, no, this looks good, and we might be able to issue it in a few days.
Okay. Interesting. I appreciated the hard work you put into this. Mr. Sessoms.
Just a quick question. So this isn't taking away an existing opportunity to do something with a private shoreline or a public shoreline. It's just another tool in the toolbox to allow a different type of treatment,
right,
for the shoreline.
If you want to go this route, this is a way that we're trying to encourage folks to go by making the process as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is an option that property owners can do in a quick, expeditious, right. And
anything that doesn't meet this can go through the standard process.
Right.
And the benefits of living shorelines, I think, have been pretty well established through the scientific literature over the years. So. Any other comments from the commission? Well, it's a request for a public hearing for next month. I'll need a motion.
I move to approve the request for a public hearing.
Motion by Mr. Neal to approve a public hearing for next month's meeting.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sessoms. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. We'll have a public hearing and see what other public input we'll receive.
Okay.